Good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Ian from PGC. Thank you for joining us for our English worship service. After I graduated from university, I had that daunting task of finding my first job in my career. And unfortunately, as I was looking for different jobs, I came across that one line in every single job posting that everybody fears and dreads. It says, minimum 2 to 3 years experience required. Now, many of us look at that line and we have the same thought running through our head. I thought the whole point of an entry-level job was that we could get the experience. Why does the entry-level job require me to already have that experience? And it can be frustrating because in that moment we feel inadequate or unqualified. Unless you're one of those special people that is just so confident that you're like, you know what, I'm going to go into that meeting, I'm going to go into that job interview, and I'm going to tell them that I'm going to be the most amazing person at that job, and that in within 3 years, I'm going to have their job. If you're one of those people, good for you. But for many of us, there can be that feeling of inadequacy, where we feel like we're not qualified for the job that we are applying for. And oftentimes that feeling of inadequacy can translate into our walk with God, into how we serve his people in the church, and how we serve the people of this world. How can I be a mentor to somebody? How can I be a person who serves on the worship team? Have you heard me sing? How could I serve in youth ministry, spending time with teenagers, talking about things? No, thank you. I'm not qualified for that. How could I share my testimony? That doesn't make any sense. Sometimes we feel inadequate. And that's why we leave it to the pastors, to the elders, to the mature people to do all those things. And we get this idea that really the only people who are serving in the kingdom are the pastors. When really all of us are called to follow the Great Commission, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone and to be making disciples of all nations. How could I ever talk to somebody about the gospel? That's what we were talking about last week. We were talking about evangelism. How could we do something like that? And for many of us, there are mental blocks that prevent us from serving, from doing what we know is right, and from helping the church and the people who are in need all around us. Today we're going to be focusing on the story of Moses, and in many of the different parts of Moses' story, we can focus on the great fantastical events of his life. We can focus on the fact that he was saved as a baby from being slaughtered by Pharaoh's soldiers. We can focus on the burning bush, how God spoke to him directly. Come on, the plagues in Egypt? What about the parting of the Red Sea? What about Moses is the one who brings down the Ten Commandments? We're like, man, this guy's like a giant of the faith. And yet we can forget that Moses actually struggled with inadequacies of his own. That Moses struggled with having a weakness in his character. How he was unwilling to go back to Egypt. That he was unwilling to serve God in this way. What we see in the Moses story is that God does not just look at our appearance. He doesn't just look at who we are or what we have done. That what he actually does is he sees our heart. He sees our godly potential, what we can accomplish with him. And that's what we will see when we look into Moses' story in Exodus chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 4. We will be reading from verse 1 to 17. And it reads like this. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. Now put it back into your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else to do it. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it. This is God's word. What we see is that God is willing to choose Moses to be his servant, even though he knows his weakness, even though he knows what Moses has done in his life, even though he knows the fear that at the moment has gripped Moses' heart. Because God doesn't just look at the appearances, but he looks at the heart of a person. And he knows what Moses can accomplish with God. He knows his godly potential. And the same is true with us. So as we go through this story, let's remember that God knows what we have done. He knows our sin. He knows who we are as people. He knows what has made us who we are to this day. And yet, he still chooses to love us. He still chooses to forgive us. And he still chooses to give us a mission to spread the gospel to all the people in the world who need to hear it. Because he sees our hearts. He sees what we can accomplish with him. He sees our godly potential. Now, just as a brief refresher for the Moses story, we know that Moses is the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. We know that there was a decree in Egypt to kill all the newborn Hebrew babies because the Hebrews at this point, they are enslaved by the Egyptians, and the Egyptians are worried because the Hebrews keep having too many babies and they're getting to be too large of a population. So Moses is actually saved from this innocent slaughter. And he is raised as the Pharaoh's daughter, and he has special privileges. But unfortunately, for Moses at least, he commits murder. He kills an Egyptian as he is trying to protect a Hebrew. And so he is forced to flee Egypt. And so he goes to this place called Midian, which is basically as far away from civilization as he possibly can get. And there he becomes a shepherd. And there he gets married, and there he decides to have a family. And at this point, God speaks to him in the form of a burning bush. And he's telling him what he wants Moses to do, how he wants Moses to go back to Egypt, how he wants Moses to speak to not only the people of Israel who are enslaved to the Hebrews, but also to Pharaoh himself. Now, for obvious reasons, in verse 1, Moses is hesitant. Moses does not have a reputation within the Hebrew community. The elders and the leaders don't know him. They don't know anything about him. They don't trust him. So obviously, Moses has a good reason for saying in verse 1, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? Imagine for a second that someone came into your church on a Sunday morning claiming that they had a message from God that they needed to share with you. Chances are, you'd be a little bit skeptical. That'd be pretty reasonable. You probably wouldn't just hand over the microphone and say, listen, we're going to give you 30 seconds to 5 minutes to tell us about this message that you heard from God. If it was a complete stranger. Now imagine that it's an elder or a brother or an auntie or an uncle, somebody who has a reputation within the church of being disciplined or kind or wise. You're much more likely to listen to them, right? Well, Moses, he is not known at all. If anything, he's only known for being a murderer. He's only known for being the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, somebody who's not necessarily close to the Hebrew people. So Moses actually has a good question of God, saying, well, how will they know that I'm actually sent by you? Because anybody could say that they are sent by God, right? So So Moses says, okay, fine. I'm going to give you three miracles. I'm going to give you three things, three signs, three wonders that you can do to cover up this inadequacy that you have in your heart where you feel like you won't be listened to, you won't be trusted. So he gives him the staff that turns into a snake. Pretty cool. I've never been able to turn a stick into a snake, and I've dropped my hockey stick when I'm playing hockey plenty of times, and every time I've dropped it, it's never turned into a snake. So it's pretty fair to say that if someone dropped a stick in front of me and then it turned into a serpent, I would probably pay attention to them. And he says that if you pick up the snake, then it'll turn back into a staff. Pretty cool parlor trick. Never seen that one done before. But God has one more. He says, okay, listen, but if they don't believe that one, here, I'll do you one better. Take your hand, put it into your jacket, and then when you pull it out, your hand is going to be leprous, as white as snow. And then if you put your hand back into it, then it's going to be turned back to normal. Now, leprosy was a very serious disease. It was so serious, in fact, that if you had leprosy, then you would be separated from your community because people were so afraid of catching it. So the idea of you being able to put your hand into your jacket, bam, you got leprosy. Number one, would scare people. But number two, the ability to put it back into your pocket and then have a clean hand, well, that's something to pay attention to. Because like, listen, I know, one miracle, one sign, two miracles, two signs, it's a bargain sale. I'm going to give you a third one in case they still don't believe you. He says, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe those two signs or listen to you, take water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. Now this is a sign. If ever there was a sign of the end times or of some type of almighty holy power, it's the ability of taking water and making it into blood. That would cause people to stop immediately and say something is going on. Think about how people reacted in the Gospel of John when Jesus takes water and turns it into wine. People are like, what? He did that? That is not normal. That is miraculous. Now imagine that Moses is taking water from the Nile and it's turning it into blood. Wine, blood. Blood carries a serious connotation, this idea that something terrible is about to happen. Let me put it this way. If you walked into a new apartment and you turned on the taps, and instead of water coming out of the taps, blood started coming out of the taps, you'd probably run out of there screaming, saying, the realtor just gave us a haunted house. What is happening? Why am I in one of those weird poltergeist movies? This is some serious business. God has pulled out all the stops. He's like, bro, I have you exactly where I want you. You told me that you were worried they wouldn't believe you, so I'm going to give you signs and miracles and wonders. And Moses' response is, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Have you ever had one of those friends in your friend group where they really don't want to participate or they really don't want to go out and hang out with you, so they have this excuse for why they don't want to hang out with you? And then you kind of answer the problem that they have. So for example, if you're like, hey, do you want to go get, you know, dinner on a Tuesday? Or do you want to get takeout food and have it over Zoom? Because let's face it, it's the pandemic. And you're like, oh, Tuesday, I'm busy. And they're like, well, what about Wednesday? And you're like, I think I have something on Wednesday. Let me just think about that for a second. And they kind of make excuses about it. That's what's happening with Moses. Moses has a problem that is different from his initial problem. Think about it. His first problem was, I'm worried people won't believe me. His second problem is, God, I can't speak very well. That has nothing to do with what's happening here. God doesn't need him to speak well because he has miracles and signs and wonders that will cause people to stop and to think. He has a staff that turns into a snake. He can make his hand covered in leprosy, and he can cause the Nile River to turn to blood. Any one of these would be good enough to cause people to stop and listen. But Moses is still afraid, and he is still not willing to listen to God. There are times in our lives when we are encouraged to do things that make us uncomfortable. when we are told by our friends, by our family, to try something new. For example, single people. There is that feeling within us when people have to, okay, we're actually going to fix that part. For example, single people, try going up to someone you find attractive and just talking with them. Now, some people are perfectly fine with that and perfectly comfortable. And you know what? They're confident enough to just strike up and have a conversation and they're glad to do it. And they just talk. That's good enough for them. And then there are some people that need encouragement because they feel uncomfortable. They feel awkward. They're not sure what to do, or what to say, or how to even make that initial hello. There's a point when you actually don't know what to do. And then there's a point when there's a mental block, where even if you know what the proper and right thing to do is, you make excuses because you can't get past this point in your head that requires you to go up to a person that you don't know that you find attractive to say hello, to strike up a conversation. It's that part of your brain that says, well, I didn't have a proper in. We don't have anything in common. What would we talk about? What would we do? What if they talk to me? I don't know what to say. And that's the moment that Moses is at. His excuse in verse 10 is, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to me, your servant, I am slow of speech and tongue. He's not talking to just anybody at this moment. He is talking to God, to the one who made him. His excuse is not good enough. His excuse is totally inadequate. And God responds, because he sees that in Moses' heart is weakness. He sees that Moses does not have the confidence to be able to go in faith to Egypt. And what we see here in verse 11 is God responds to Moses. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who made him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Now Moses, after this, should be good, because God has answered his problem. He has said, Moses, I will give you signs so that they will believe you. If you are worried that you're not a good enough speaker, or if you're not eloquent enough, I will provide you with strength, with the giftedness to be able to communicate with people so that people will be able to understand. I'm the one who made your mouth. I made it so that way you could speak. I know who you are. Am I not the person who can give sight to the blind or hearing to people? I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. This isn't just some bumpkin telling Moses that he will help. This is God Almighty. This is God speaking to him directly from the burning bush. Moses should respond by saying, then I shall go, Lord. And yet, how does Moses respond? Verse 13, Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else to do it. God is not limited by our weaknesses. If you are not a gifted speaker, and God wants you to be able to reach out to a brother or to a sister who is in need, it doesn't matter how good or how bad you are at communicating. If God wants the message to get through, it will get through. If you are worried about what you don't have in terms of giftedness or skill set, trust God will provide in the moments when he needs you, when he asks you to serve. When there is a place in your church where there is a need, where there is a deep desire for people to help, it is easy for us to focus on the things that we don't have, how we are not as good as somebody else. But God's response is, I need you to serve. And if I need you to get the job done, then I will make it happen. It doesn't matter that Moses is weak or that he is afraid or that he is uncomfortable. What matters is that God said it will get done, so it will get done. Moses says that he is not qualified. And God says, I will make you qualified. I will deal with your inability to speak. I will deal with your inability to communicate. But what Moses lacks at this moment is a willing heart. Moses is afraid. He says, Lord, please send someone else to do it. And friends, this is what we hear in churches all the time. When there is a need in our church, and we ask the brothers and the sisters to help us, to volunteer for our youth program, to help out with children, to help out with mentoring, the response we get is, now's not the right time, or I'm not ready for that type of commitment, or I'm not really good at speaking, or I wouldn't know what to say, or now's not a really good time, but maybe later. My English isn't so good. Friend, that's exactly what Moses is saying. You have a friend in Moses. He says, Lord, please send someone else to do it. God chose Moses. God should have been answered by Moses saying, yes, Lord, I will do it for you because you are my source of strength. I will follow you in faith. And Moses says, get someone else to do it. Anybody but me. What's interesting is that at this moment, God doesn't just drop Moses. He doesn't. He has every right to just strike him down like this and say, didn't you know who I was? And yet Moses chooses to be impertinent to God, knowing that this is what he could risk. He could risk God's wrath on him, and yet God chooses to send someone else to help them. Verse 14, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother, Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you as it will be, as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it. God picks Moses, but he also picks Aaron. God picks Moses to be his messenger to Egypt, but he recognizes that Moses' weaknesses require additional help and support. God recognizes that the inadequacies within Moses, the things that he's not good at, Aaron can assist him. Aaron can be his support. And that is why when we're in the church, we do not act alone, that we are not alone. And that oftentimes God uses our brothers and our sisters in faith, our older aunties or uncles, the people who are surrounding us, who have a long history of faithfulness, to give us support so that we don't have all that pressure of evangelism just sitting on one person. It's not just only the pastor who can do it. But oftentimes that is why we go and we do ministry in pairs, in groups, so that we can support one another in love. Now, Moses has this huge mental block that he's unwilling to follow after God alone, that he needs someone else to go with him. So God chooses to give Moses what he asked for. But he doesn't let Moses off the hook. Because what Moses does is Moses says, please send someone else. And God says, okay, cool. I will send Aaron, but also you. Because you are called to participate. Because I have chosen you to bring my message to Egypt. So even though Moses is not the articulate one, he is the one who God trusts with his message. And then Moses shares that message with Aaron. And then Aaron shares the message to the people. Moses is gifted with God's message, even if he isn't the one who presents it to the people. But you know what the interesting thing is? Aaron's job is only to be the messenger. But he is never entrusted with the direct message from God. You know, the last time that Aaron is ever chosen to be in a position of leadership, when he is chosen to take care of all the people of God, it's in Exodus 32. When Moses goes up Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments from God, and Aaron lets all the people go wild and have the golden calf. Aaron was a good communicator, but he was not a good leader. Moses, on the other hand, was a terrible communicator, but he was a good leader. He was able to hear God and to communicate his message to the people who mattered. Moses had a mental block that prevented him from following God, and many of us have mental blocks, things that are stopping us from actually participating in the mission of God to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. We have mental blocks that stop us from serving God in our daily lives, that stop us from sharing the gospel with people who need it, that stop us from confessing our sin and acknowledging that we are sinners that are in need of grace and saving. That we have mental blocks that prevent us from deepening our relationship with one another, with our spouses, with our children, with our parents. That we have this mental block that stops us from being real. In the same way that Moses had a mental block that was so fixated on what he did not have that he lost sight of what he did have. Moses had God in his corner. Every time Moses had a problem or he wasn't sure about something, God had an answer. When Moses said, "I don't know if people are going to believe me," God's like, "Listen, I got you. I'm going to give you signs and miracles and wonders." The moment when Moses says, "But listen, I'm not a good speaker," God's right there and he says, "I've got you again. I will give you the ability to speak and to be heard by people." And then Moses says, "Please send someone else to do it." And God says, "Fine, I'll send somebody else with you." God sees Moses' mental block and answers him and gives him the tools to get past it. All of us are called to follow after Jesus Christ. All of us are called to confess our sin, to sit at the foot of the cross and acknowledge the wrong things we have done in our lives, the sins that we have committed and our desperate need of salvation, but to not just sit at the cross and wallow in our sin, but to leave it at the foot of the cross and follow after the risen Jesus Christ. What we see is that this mental block that Moses has is dealt with by God for God's glory. Friends, Satan loves to remind us of our sin, to remind us of what we have done, to remind us that we are not good people, to remind us that we are not the perfect people, that we are people who do not deserve God's love. That is what Satan reminds us of. He shows us our appearance in the mirror and says, "You are not worthy of being loved." But thankfully, God does not just look at our appearance. He does not look only at what we have done or who we are right now. But what God does is he looks to the future. He looks to our heart and he looks to see what our godly potential is, what we are capable of with God. What we see is that in the story of Moses, his inadequacies, his failings, they do not discredit him. They do not prevent him from following after God in ministry, serving his kingdom and serving his purpose. But that Moses' weaknesses are opportunities for God's goodness and glory to shine through. And so it is with us. You see, for some people, it's really easy to communicate. It's really easy to just start talking. I should know. I love to talk. Oftentimes, the trick is not to get me started, but it's to get me to stop talking. But not everybody's like that. Some people need time. Some people need to feel comfortable. Some people just don't enjoy talking unless they know that they're surrounded by people who love them, who have similar interests to them. But for somebody like me to start talking to a random stranger, that's nothing new. That's nothing crazy adventurous or brave or anything like that. That's just a Monday. More accurately, it's just a Sunday. But when a person who knows that their inadequacy, that their mental block is talking to somebody new, when somebody who knows that they struggle with that one-on-one conversation with somebody that they don't know, when that person puts aside their fear and takes up their faith in God and goes and starts a conversation with someone, that is a situation when God is glorified. That is a situation when someone says, wow, God is good. Did you see that person was able to actually have a conversation? Whereas if I had a conversation, people wouldn't take notice at all. Our inadequacies are opportunities for God to be glorified. Because God doesn't just stop at what we are bad at. He doesn't just fixate on those things. Instead, he uses them as opportunities for us to grow in our faith. But what it requires from us is to have a heart that is willing to follow after God. A heart that is willing to be faithful to him who died for us. Not without fear, but despite fear. Knowing that we are uncomfortable with mentoring, to take up that challenge and to take up that charge of reaching out to a person who is in desperate need of guidance, who needs somebody who's from an older time, who has more experience, to share that experience. It is not easy to be a mentor, but it is something that we are required to do to make disciples of all nations. Because that is what we are called to do, not just to spread the gospel, but also to make disciples. Making disciples is not left up to just the pastors. And if you have a mental block, if you know that you have some inadequacy, something that you said, oh, I'll never do that. I could never do that. Stop and remember that Moses never thought he was going to go back to Egypt. Moses thought that he was just going to go live in Midian in some backwards part of the world and just be a shepherd, to have his family, to have kids, potentially to have grandkids, to put down his roots and to settle. But he was pretty sure he was never going back to Egypt because they know him as a murderer there. And yet God sent him to Egypt. In the same way, he is sending you and me to be his voice into the lives of people who have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Moses was given 3 miracles and was afraid. He felt like he couldn't speak and God encouraged him. And at the very end, he still said, Lord, I don't want to go. Please send somebody else. And God sent Aaron. When was the last time you turned down an opportunity to serve? When was the last time you turned down an opportunity to confess your sin? When was the last time you turned down an opportunity to follow after God in faith? Moses was a great man of faith, but he wasn't always. There were moments in his life when he was inadequate, when he was not the person that he was supposed to be. But God didn't just stop because at one particular time, Moses was not a man of faith. God saw the potential within Moses in the same way he sees the potential in all of us. What we can accomplish with God, to not be distracted by what we don't have, but to focus on what God does have. So practically speaking, if you are following after Jesus Christ and you're not serving his church, that's a problem because all of us are called to serve. Now, where you serve and how you serve, that's not up to me. That's not up to somebody who is completely disconnected from you and your situation. But I would encourage you, speak to an elder, talk to your cell leader, talk to one of the pastors even and say, I don't want to be that type of person who says, I'm not good enough, send somebody else. Be the person instead who, despite your fear, despite your failings, despite what you are not good at, still chooses to follow after God. Because friend, Moses was not a good speaker. And yet God said to him, what? He said exactly like this. Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. So if for whatever reason you say, I can't serve in youth ministry because I don't know how to talk to teenagers, remember that God gave man his mouth. He can make someone deaf or mute. Who gives man sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. And that includes in youth ministry as well. If you feel like you're inadequate, that is a moment to run towards God and not away from Him. If you were in a position in your life when you don't know what you can do because you're so afraid of doing anything, that is a time of confessing it to God and saying, Lord, I don't want to be like Moses and say, send somebody else. Instead, be that person who can bring the gospel to somebody else who desperately needs it. Friends, the only reason why I'm here is because somebody cared enough about me to put aside their weakness and their inadequacy to invest in my life, to invest in me through youth ministry. They didn't have to be eloquent in speaking. They didn't have to have the answers to all of my questions. But you know what they did need to have? It was a heart that loved God and was willing to serve Him and was willing to serve a bunch of teenagers who honestly probably didn't want to listen to them on a Friday night. The difference was that God was able to communicate to my heart because they were there for me when I needed it. Moses was a man of faith, but he had his dark times too. God does not expect us to be perfect the moment we get to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He doesn't expect us to immediately become the person that we are meant to be. But friends, walking with God in faith, we will be able to achieve our godly potential, to be able to be a servant of Jesus Christ, to be a disciple who picks up their cross and goes to the places where they are afraid to go. Bravery is not the absence of fear, but it is persevering despite it. In that case, friends, I would encourage you to pray with me now, to pray that you too might not look at your own appearance, to just look at the surface level of what you are not good at, but instead to look at the heart, to look at the heart of Jesus Christ, who saw all of us as we were sinful, not worth loving, and yet chose to die for us. If that is true, then we owe it to God to serve Him with everything that we have. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for giving us Your word. We thank You, Lord, that the figures that we read about Moses and Aaron, that, Lord, they were not perfect men. They were men of faith, but, Lord, they did not always start out that way. We ask, Lord, that You would convict our hearts, that if we are stopped from serving You because of some mental block in our life, something that prevents us from serving, that, God, You would put that away from our heart, that You would dispense of any idea that we can't serve You, but that instead You would draw our attention to where we are needed most. My prayer, Lord, is that Your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts even now to convict us of sin, but also to move us to participate in Your kingdom building. I ask for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.